This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I am full of enchiladas.
Whoa. Is that a euphemism, or are you actually full of enchiladas?
It's both.
Enchiladas are a sloppy food, am I right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you know how to approach it, you're going to be okay. Fork and knife. Don't try to use your hands like a monster.
I know, but the thing is, the burrito is such a beautiful invention because of how you can eat it with your hands. And anytime, look, I like enchiladas. I don't want to be on the wrong side of history here, but I enjoy holding a burrito, cradling it in my hands. And I don't, anytime I've tried to, if I've gotten a burrito that started to fall apart and I approach it with a knife and fork, it's no good. But you're right. An enchilada, I can approach with a knife and fork because it's just inherently messy. So it's fine.
Yeah, two things, Tom. I don't like cradling a big burrito in my hands as I'm eating it.
Oh, I love
it. For the same reason I don't like doing that with like a big messy burger. Like when I used to love Five Guys burgers. The problem is
diarrhea right after.
No, stop it. That's the
big problem, man. I'm just telling you from my perspective that that's my big problem. That's why I never have Five Guys. It's delicious, but...
Oh, I love Five Guys. But my thing is I get anxious because I think I'm afraid it's going to fall apart, so I don't put it down.
And
I wind up eating the entire massive burger in like literally less than 2 minutes. And I do the same thing with big burritos.
Right.
Like I never want to put it down because as soon as I put it down, some of the stuff like falls out of the top and then it's not the perfect experience.
I do that a lot with, I'm a big Whopper on a road trip guy. And if you're driving and eating a Whopper, A, you're taking your life in your own hands. But if you put that Whopper down, there's no place to put it down. But if you put it in your lap or you hand it to someone, it's immediately going to start falling apart and making a mess. And then it's going to make it that much harder to eat while you're driving.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's like your original grip has to be the grip that you stick with.
You can't move your hands.
It's not even that it falls apart when you put it down. It's just when you pick it back up, you're re-gripping it. And that screws up the structural integrity that you had established with your original grip.
Yeah, you got to keep that first grip tight. Be smart about that first grip. And I would suggest if you're driving, don't make your first grip a two-handed grip because you're going to wind up in trouble.
You drive with your knees.
They just had one of these stories about I like talking about the news like... like an old man now. Well, we'll get on. I have a lot of old man things to say today, as you may.
Or the new thing that old people say is it was on Facebook.
Oh yeah.
It's like, but from where?
Yeah, but Facebook's a cesspool.
Did you see on Facebook this happen? It's like no.
I would sooner take like a baby boomer's word. If they told me it was on 4chan, I'd be like, all right.
Well, at least I know I can consider the source. It was on Facebook.
Well, and it's like, well, I think at least 4chan, even though that's also a cesspool, doesn't have like an algorithm to promote the worst things. You have to like go out and find the worst things on 4chan, whereas Facebook will just... Facebook knows a person. Look, I should not be friends with this person anymore, but a person that I don't even know in real life that I'm Facebook friends with, that I hate, that I can't stand. And Facebook understands that and sends me push notifications when this person has posted to Facebook, because they know, like, oh, wait till you see the shit they posted today, Tom.
Could you imagine in high school somebody told you, like, you'll carry around a device with you 24 hours a day, and this big company run by this weird man will send you notifications at the most inopportune times when you're just going about your day
about how somebody you hate posted something.
Yeah, about somebody you hate, their opinion on something.
Right, their opinion that a machine has figured out, like, oh, Tom's gonna have the opposite opinion of this. Let's tell him about it. And then it's like
your parents will use this stuff and will love this company that does this for you.
Well, and also, if this were what, like 15, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it's like, well, tell me more about this device. Oh, it has a camera that is the most unbelievable camera you've ever seen. It plays video games that blow away everything on your current device. You can read any newspaper in the world on it. You can read any book in the world on it. You can watch any movie. There are services where you just pay a few dollars a month and you can watch any movie. Music, oh my god, $10, and any song that's ever been recorded you can listen to, but you'll primarily use it to just view opinions you strongly disagree with from virtual strangers.
So it's a wonderful world we live in.
Yeah, and the device is expensive and there's a monthly fee associated with it. Yeah, so enchiladas.
You were saying
that
there was a story, that they came out with a story.
About enchiladas?
I don't know. It's how we started talking about Facebook.
I
was talking about driving with your knees.
Oh, yeah. It was a story about how this couple got pulled over. They were going 90 miles an hour. I think in Canada, maybe, and they were both asleep in their Tesla with the driver and passenger seat reclined all the way, both of them sound asleep, with the car going 90 miles an hour down the highway.
Could you imagine having that much faith in anything?
Let alone Elon Musk, a guy who, if you crash into something, you would just go, I don't know.
They must have been pedophiles.
Yeah, they must have been pedophiles. Here's a meme I made about it.
Tom, this was the first time I've ever eaten enchiladas.
What? No.
Yeah, I never saw a need for them. I know burritos.
Too exotic for you? Too ethnic?
You know what? I couldn't wrap my head around that much sauce.
Yeah, it is a lot of sauce.
It's just, you
it's
put
literally
them
drowned in sauce.
Yeah. And to me, I was just like, nah, look, I'm a sauce man. You know me. They call me the sauce man.
Well, you're more of a dip guy. Which,
they call me sauce man Carruthers.
Which I think the difference between a dip and a sauce is wider than you would think, because a dip is... you have control over a dip. You don't have much control over a sauce if the sauce is put on beforehand. You can pre-apply a sauce. You cannot pre-apply a dip.
But you choose how much of the dip you're applying to the thing you're dipping with every single dip.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, with the sauce, I don't know. I can put as much sauce as I want on something.
Yeah, but if you're like, you made these enchiladas at home?
Heck yeah, Tom, there's a pandemic on.
Well, I'm just saying, if you ordered enchiladas, you get whatever amount of sauce the chef deems appropriate.
That's true. Yeah, no, I made them myself. And
nobody can say, a chef can't can't just mandate like, no, this is very dip heavy. There's going to be a lot of dip. They can try. They can give you a lot of dip, you know, and very few chips or vegetables or whatever to encourage you.
I feel like they've been doing that to me lately. They've been giving me a lot less.
And now who is chips? The they you're referring to? The deep state, Tim? Have you been on Facebook too much?
I mean, I don't know who, if there's some sort of collusion in amongst the kitchen staffs at my local takeout joints.
Yeah.
But if something comes with a chip of some sort and a dip, they're light on the chips these days and heavy on the dip. They want me to load every chip up.
That's one of the things I miss most about restaurants. When you're at a restaurant where you can tell when you're at a restaurant where they make their own chips and they're heavy handed with them and they're free with them, you know, where the chips mm-hmm. flow like wine and they don't care. Like a good Mexican restaurant, they don't care. A really good Mexican restaurant, they won't even ask if you want more chips. They'll just bring you more chips. And that's heaven. That's
my idea for a nachos only restaurant was it was maybe two or three different. It was a very small menu. And there's a few different types of nachos. But everything came with also just a side bowl of plain chips.
Yeah. That's a good restaurant. So wait, you order nachos and then you get a side of plain chips with them?
Yeah, because don't you always want that? Is it when the first nacho is fully loaded, I'm talking about here.
Uh-huh. Tom, yeah.
Come to your table.
Oh yeah.
And it's all the toppings, wet and dry alike on mm-hmm. there, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, where's my angle here?
Yeah, you have to, how like, do
Jenga
I even get in
a
here?
First piece out there. If you have a completely dry chip and you just treat that the top of those nachos as a 7-layer dip to get you started to kind of cut through that.
It's like an archaeologist digging up dinosaur bones. You can just kind of excavate there.
Exactly.
It's a much better situation.
Exactly.
I agree completely. But yeah, I just miss places with they should look, any place I've been to where they just freely give out chips, I love and I remember. But places should advertise that. They should advertise, look, we're not stingy with the chips. That could be a slogan for a place.
That's going to be my goddamn nacho place, Tom.
If you know, there are all these like quick serve restaurants, like a Chili's and an Applebee's and a TGI Fridays. If one of them just changed their slogan to we're not stingy with the chips, they would become a monopoly. Honestly, they would overnight. They would just become the government would have to step in.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should do that. It's famously great time to open a restaurant.
Tim, look, this week's episode is, I would say it's a very special episode of The Complete Guide to Everything. This is like
because of the enchilada discussion we had
earlier? Not because of the enchilada discussion, Tim. Because last week, people might remember that I talked about being on the keto diet and then mentioned that I got gout as a result of the keto diet.
This is the first time we've had a multi-episode character arc on this show.
That's true. We've had topics that continue on, but honestly, the characters of Tim and Tom have not progressed very much.
Yeah, no, this is some great character development. This is like in like the last season of Frasier when Niles had a heart condition and they turned it into like very special episodes of Frasier.
Oh, I think I had tuned out by then.
Yeah, I think it was like season 9.
Yeah, I was probably in college and like, yeah, I guess I probably shouldn't be watching Frasier anymore. I'm too old for Frasier.
For the farcical adventures of Doctor's Crane.
Yeah, it's not so much of a farce anymore. It's getting too true to life. But so I mentioned that last week. What I did not mention, because it had not happened yet, is that what I was calling gout was gout. However, it was nothing compared to what happened that night and the next day, which was extreme gout. Probably not even extreme gout, just actual gout. Oh my God, it was horrible, Tim.
Now, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tread lightly here.
Yes.
Because you, first of all, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're experiencing health issues.
Yeah. Let me also say that I'm more or less completely better now.
Okay. Good to hear. Happy to hear it. I feel like this episode might be a trap, because I feel like you're trying to set me up to make light of gout.
Right.
And you're gonna trap me into being like, you're gonna tell me how many people die from it, or you're gonna tell me that like certain portions of the population are more susceptible to it. So I'm not gonna try and make any jokes. I'm gonna give you a forum to tell your story so you don't trap me and get me canceled.
I'm not trying to trap you and get you canceled. Yes, on the grand scheme of things, I'm trying to trap you and get you canceled. One day.
Yeah, I mean, that's
one day,
the goal of this podcast.
Yeah, one day I hope to do that, but I don't have any dispersions that is going to happen tonight. Tonight's just part of the gradual building up. It'll be, you know, like an exhibit Z in the trial for Tim's cancellation one day.
All right.
I don't think people die from it. I can't imagine you dying from it based on what it is. But, you know, I don't know. People die from all kinds of crazy things. If people die from it, it is not very common for people to die from it.
Apparently, according to thegoutkiller.com.
Well, of course, they're going to be biased, Tim.
You can die of gout.
Well, that's what I said. You probably can, but I don't think very many people do.
As I was Googling, do people die of gout?
Uh-huh.
As soon as I typed do people, the first thing, or the second thing, do people eat poop?
Well, that's based on your previous searches, Tim. So
no, this is DuckDuckGo, my friend.
Well, yeah, but they can. They're looking at your IP, and they're like, normally we don't like to use people's past history.
They make an exception to their.
They're like, okay. We know for sure what this guy's looking for. Tim, gout will affect 1-2% of Westerners during their life. And that's not just cowboys. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, at first I thought, like, wow, pretty cool, Tom. You are pretty cool.
So
wrangling with your chaps.
Let me explain what it is and why I got it through this ketogenic diet. It is an elevated level of uric acid in your blood. Uric acid is normally expelled through urine, Tim.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Are you going to be mature enough to handle that?
Yeah.
To handle me talking about urine?
Again, Tom, I'm not making any jokes this week.
Oh, well, I guess it's not that much different than every other week.
Go ahead. Continue your story.
You got too much uric acid. Here's where the problem comes in. This uric acid that you're getting rid of normally through your pee-pee, when it hangs around too long, it decides to turn into crystals.
Is this like kidney stones?
Yes, it can eventually turn into kidney stones. It's the same exact type of thing. But what gout is that it normally happens in your feet, for a lot of people in their big toe. It did not happen for me in my big toe, but it's because like that's for
the piggy who went to market.
It did happen in the piggy who went to market.
That's and the big toe.
No, this little piggy went to the market. This little piggy came home. This little piggy had roast beef. This little pig. It happened in the little piggy that didn't have roast beef. And a little piggy that went wee all the way home.
Your little toe and your
ring toe. Yeah, the toe.
I mean,
you
have
always
toe
see
rings on all of your toes, so yeah, that's a little misleading.
But if like a place is like, well, you can't have toe rings on in here, I'll take them all off except for my ring toe.
Right.
So it's basically what is furthest away from your heart. That's where, because your heart's what pumps all the blood. Where the uric acid just kind of it builds up. You know, it's the end of the line, and it builds up. And when it comes back. Yeah, but it comes back slower. You know what I mean? It doesn't have the same velocity coming back from your feet as it does from, like, you know, the other, from your head or whatever. It's a little slow, and it's leaving some stuff behind, some heavy stuff like uric acid. Yeah. That turns into crystals. And now, Tim, you might think, wow, pretty cool, crystals. Yeah. I love crystals. And crystals, you're always talking about the healing power of crystals. So
I'm shocked that you're claiming that crystals somehow made you sick.
But when uric acid turns into crystals, you know what these crystals resemble, Tim? Microscopic needles.
Yikes.
They basically turn into little tiny needles inside your feet. Now, when I told you, I got gout, what I was suffering at that time was a feeling. It felt like, you know, when you run a lot and you have like lactic acid in your muscles, or like, you know, you're working out, you're pumping iron.
Just you're tired?
No, you know, that like burning feeling in your muscles.
Sometimes. I don't know. I guess, well, I don't work out that much.
It's like a burning feeling, and it's just kind of like sore.
Okay.
And that's what it felt like the night I
don't know, Tom. I feel like I could run like 100 miles without getting sore, so I can't really relate, but go on.
That's what it felt like the night I spoke with you. However, later that evening, I woke up in the middle of the night in unbelievable pain. The next day, I had, I swear to God, the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. It felt like somebody took my foot, like a giant, like Andre the Giant, took my foot and just snapped it in half.
Was it broken?
No, it felt like it was broken, though. It felt like every bone in my foot, it felt like somebody dropped a refrigerator on my foot from like 5 stories up, and then I wasn't allowed to take the refrigerator off my foot. That's what it felt like. It was unbelievable, Tim.
What did you do?
Well, I'll tell you what I did.
Did you ice it?
Yeah, I fucking iced it. You think I didn't think of icing it?
I wasn't suggesting. I was just trying to... You've been talking for 45 minutes straight. I was going to interject. I know that you probably iced it. That was probably the reasonable thing to do. I was just trying to get a word in edgewise here.
Well, you said you weren't going to make any jokes.
I'm not making jokes. I was asking you if you did the thing that you probably did.
I'm going to talk about the remedies I tried and what finally worked later in the episode, Tim. That's called a tease.
Wow. Okay. Now, this is a bunch of pseudoscience, right? So what you're saying, like, you're talking about blood velocity from your feet compared to the blood velocity from your head?
No, I mean, it's pseudoscience, but it's pseudoscience that I made up.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's not, like, pseudoscience. That's, like, Tom science.
I think we should
science.
Just make it clear, like, you haven't done any research into this.
No, Tim... You have no idea. 3 o'clock in the morning, I was up. You would have thought I was a graduate student at a university, the amount of research I was doing.
Did you even try Googling, do people die of gout? Because you would have been alarmed by the results.
Well, I wasn't jumping right to whether I'm going to die or not, Tim. I'm not fatalist. I was trying to figure out how to solve my problem right away.
It's not fatalist to try to prevent yourself from dying.
And then that would take care of what would knowing if people die from gout have solved?
To know if you have to, if you should consult an actual medical professional.
Nah, It's I always frown upon that, regardless.
That's good advice.
Gout's been around, Tim, for thousands of years, which I guess makes sense. There's this guy, I want to read this quote from you. His name was Aulus Cornelius Celsus. And this is in 30, the year 30.
All right. Good which, records from there.
Which must have been wacky. You know, back then, like, oh boy, I remember when that happened back in 21. Remember that?
Yeah. Imagine being born in the year zero.
Like, so Jesus.
So you remember how old you are.
Yeah. Oh, this guy, this was 3 years before Jesus bit the big one.
No, that's not how it works, Tom.
What? Wasn't Jesus year zero?
No.
What? That's what it is. You heathen. What did you think? Did you think year zero was when he died?
I don't know. 81.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there was an 80 zero. Yeah. So our calendar has been screwed up ever since. Anyway, this guy, I guess he was like a doctor. Imagine being a doctor 2,000 years ago and just trying to like figure out what the hell's going on with anything. He wrote, again, thick urine, the sediment of from which is white. I don't think that was urine, pal. Indicates that pain and disease are to be apprehended in the region of joints or viscera. Joint troubles in the hands and feet are very frequent and persistent. Blah, blah, blah. These seldom attack eunuchs or boys before quite caution. It's coitus, like coitus, sex with a woman. Or women, except in those whom the menses have become suppressed. Some have obtained lifelong security by refraining from wine, mead, and venery. You know what venery is?
No.
Boning.
Okay.
So the virgins don't get it. Just saying.
Gout?
To answer your question.
What was my question?
Whether or not I'm a virgin still.
All right. Well, hey, great, Tom. Glad we had this conversation.
I want to say, so I was looking up like what causes it. And a lot of it was, well, like I said last week, because I was in ketosis. And I guess like the keto whatever cells are like, hey, get out of the way. We want to get out through the pee. And then you don't pee out the uric acid like you normally do.
Why don't you just pee more?
I was trying to pee as much as I could.
Were you hydrating?
I thought I was, but apparently I wasn't.
Could all of this been avoided if you were like super ultra hydrated?
I don't know. It certainly couldn't have hurt. I think honestly, and you're going to make fun of me, but well, no, I'll tell you what happened. So let me, when I was looking this up, it said the top foods that can cause this are shrimp, organ meat, dried mushroom, seaweed, and beer yeast. Chicken and potatoes also appear related. Two big problems. The first one.
Oh, that shrimp you ate?
Look, Tim, it was free all-you-can-eat shrimp. Man, I've talked about the time I went to Red Lobster during Shrimp Fest. All-you-can-eat.
You got gout?
No, I didn't get gout, but like, you see the commercials, all you can eat shrimp, and you're like, well, that's interesting. I'd like to see what that's about. Mm-hmm. I went to Red Lobster, not by myself that time. And I was eating shrimp, and they tell you, okay, all you can eat shrimp. Here's how it's going to work. There are, I think, like six different shrimp dishes. You tell us the first two you want. And I was like, and is that all I can have? Just like variations of those two? And they're like, no, you can have any of the six, but we just need to know the first two. And then once you eat the first one, we can get started on the third one. Basically, you know, they're looking to not waste food.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, you know, to start off, I'll have 100 shrimp.
Yeah, that's fair.
The problem is that
Also, their tables aren't infinitely large.
I don't think anyone except monsters take part in this deal. Because when I was having the shrimp, they were like on top of me. Like, what do you, all right, what shrimp do you want next? I'd be like, oh, all right, I guess garlic shrimp. Or, all right, you had one of those. What do you want next? Popcorn shrimp. And then finally I got shrimp that was just like blue, just 100% not cooked. And I was like, guys, like, it's okay if it's going to take a minute. And I think this restaurant was just like so used to being screamed at for like, you're trying to filibuster my all-you-can-eat shrimp. You're trying to slow me down.
So they served you raw shrimp.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, otherwise, you know, if this guy's like anybody else that comes in for this deal, he's going to blow his top if we don't always have three shrimp dishes on his table for him to eat.
Yeah. One time I went to IHOP and got the unlimited pancakes.
I know about this.
And a bully made me eat more and more until I puked at the IHOP.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Anyway, back to gout, Tom. And yeah. By the way, back from a commercial break.
Uh-huh.
Do you think our sponsors understood that they would be sponsoring the episode entitled Gout?
Look, Tim, we're probably gonna get so many negative reviews from this episode of like people genuinely looking for some kind of relief. Older people.
Yeah, well, just
They should continue
older
listening.
Will leave bad reviews on Facebook. Oh, tough shit.
Yeah, I guess they probably don't know how to do it on like Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, and also, here's my tip: Google if you can die from gout. Guess
no,
what?
Don't
you
just Google if you can die from it. I do have some tips. I can tell you what worked for me by the end of this.
Okay. And also, Tom, Jesus was born in 4 BC.
That doesn't make any sense. He was born in 4 before Christ? How?
I don't know, Tom.
Where are you looking at? What website?
Wikipedia.com.
Hell.org? You can't believe anything they say about Jesus. Wikipedia wasn't even around when Jesus was born, you idiot. How would they know? Is it one of those like corrections where it's like 1 year everybody forgot what year it was because it was like so new. So they were like, I guess it's like 15 AD. And then later on, they was like, nah, it's 11, but it's fine.
It is this is from gotquestions.org.
Okay.
It is interesting to note that the purpose of the BC AD dating system was to make the birth of Jesus Christ the dividing point of world history.
Mm-hmm.
However, when the BC AD system was being calculated, they actually made a mistake in pinpointing the year of Jesus' birth. Scholars later discovered that Jesus was actually born around 6 to 4 BC, not AD 1.
When did they come up with all this stuff?
I don't know, 2016.
Wow, that's honestly hard to believe. But if it's on gotquestions.org, then I guess I have to believe it.
Well, that last part was just an educated guess on my part.
So, Tim, I want to talk to you about, beyond not peeing enough, what caused my gout? And there were two things, and one of which is your fault.
Tom, I haven't been in the same physical space with you in 6 months.
We've been in the park together, and we ran into each other outside Best Buy.
That's true.
The first one is that I went from essentially, so my girlfriend's a vegetarian, and you know you're a vegetarian, that like I like vegetarian food, I don't mind it. So I had been eating essentially as
like soy. You're a classic soy boy.
I do like soy. I won't. I can't lie about that. I do like tofu.
Will you admit that you are a classic soy boy?
Sure, I'll admit that I'm a classic soy boy. So I essentially went from being a vegetarian to eating like a ton of meat all the time. When I went to keto stuff, because you have to eat a lot of fat and like
you went on the keto diet and you became a carnivore.
Yeah, I was trying not to necessarily, but that just wound up being easy because again, like I then was not eating the same as my girlfriend. So a lot of times it was like, all right, well, I'm making food just for me. And if I'm not making food for somebody else, or if somebody else isn't making food for me, then I'm going to just make the laziest meal possible.
Right.
So I was not only eating a lot of meat, I was eating a lot of like processed meat, like beef jerky and things like that.
Gotta love a diet where it's just like, yeah, beef jerky for most of your
meals.
Well,
the diet's mostly like just eat fat, eat as much fat as you can. And I thought I was doing an okay job at that, but I guess I wasn't. Or maybe I wasn't. I just wasn't doing enough stuff. I'll tell you, I wasn't eating enough vegetables. That's definitely a big part of it.
Now, was that the part that was my fault?
No. Although the night after I talked to you, I ate for dinner just a bowl of Brussels sprouts, and that didn't even solve anything. The part that's your fault is that I think it was the beer I had the night I was talking to you, not talking to you, doing the podcast. That's what like really kicked into overdrive.
Did I buy you that beer?
No, but you told me that I have to drink beer when we record or else and then you always trail off.
I've asked you.
It's just the threat is implied.
Seriously, many times not to drink during the podcast. I've actually gathered in the past groups of your friends and family members.
Yeah,
to beg you to stop drinking.
Those aren't real friends and family members. They don't know. They're getting a small picture of it. So anyway, those are the two things that I think took it to the next level. And like I said, woke up just in unbelievably horrific pain. Tim, I'm sending you a text right now. I'd like you to look at your phone.
Do I want to look at this?
Look at your phone. Check out this text.
I see it's an image. My God, okay. I see your left foot. It's a picture of your feet.
Yeah, which you've always wanted.
It's your feet because your phone, I know, is just filled to the brim of pictures of feet.
Just my feet, though.
I don't know. I don't know about that, Tom. Your left foot seems nice, normal.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Normal, I'd say. Uh-huh. Not grotesque.
Yeah.
Compared to your right foot, which is swollen and red and, frankly, quite sickening.
Yeah. And that wasn't even as bad as it looked. Tim, I was expecting a much more visceral response from you. I was surprising you with that text message. I guess it's not that gross looking. There are certainly grosser pictures online.
Yeah, no, and when I started doing research for this episode, just to see if I was allowed to try to make jokes or if, like, you know, like the people die from gout.
Yeah.
I saw some truly disturbing pictures, and I figured, you know what? I'll just let Tom carry this one.
So that's what my foot looked like. And it, like, you can see how, like, it's all like, curled up my foot.
Yeah.
That was just what it was. I could not walk on it. It was like, I don't have like a crutch or a cane, but I could have used one because I couldn't put any weight on it. It was just unbelievably painful. Like I said, like somebody dropped a refrigerator on it.
Would you do hop on one foot everywhere?
No, I didn't even do that because, like, I don't know, it hurt so much that I couldn't even hop on the other foot. You know what I mean? I didn't trust my balance. So I
because you were drunk.
No, I would. By then I wasn't drunk. That was the worst part. So I started looking into remedies, and here is a list of about. I have like 20 remedies here. I tried maybe like 15 of these in desperation. First one.
This was in the middle of the night last
week.
Thursday?
Yeah. Okay. Middle of the night into the morning. First one. We all know this one. Ice.
Okay. Yeah, see?
Yeah, I tried ice.
You called me a jerk for bringing it up. Or an idiot.
Because... I wanted
it's
to get into it
literally the
later.
Number one thing.
So I tried ice. It helped a little bit. It didn't help that much, though. Then I tried drinking a lot of water. That didn't help that much. And also, then I had to pee a lot, so I had to keep getting up, which is a big problem when I couldn't put any weight on one of my feet.
Why don't you just park yourself on the toilet?
I've lost too many days doing that as it is, Tim. I'm not looking to spend my life on a toilet.
You know they say we spend a third of our lives on toilets.
That's not true. A third of our lives.
Yeah.
No, Tim, that'd
look
be,
it up. Look it up, Tom.
8 hours a day.
Yeah, look it up.
So wait, does it all just like catch up at some point? Because I haven't been doing that up to this
point.
It's
fewer when you're younger, yeah.
Oh, geez, that doesn't give me much to look forward to.
No, yeah.
So then I used ibuprofen, which you might know from its brand name Advil.
Yeah, I do know it as that. I don't take Advil, Tom. I'm not an Advil guy.
Tim. I can't tell you how many times on this podcast you've mentioned that you don't think aspirin or ibuprofen work. And then later in real life or on the podcast, you're like, it works. Oh my God. Like I had some pain and I took ibuprofen and the pain went away.
No, that's not true.
It's not strong. It's not very strong. And like, it doesn't, you know,
I think people take it too much.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's not good for you to take a lot because it can give you stomach ulcers and stuff. It's tough on the old tummy. But I took a bunch of Advil. That did help a little bit. It took the edge off for a little while. Then I took some magnesium. I had some magnesium pills. Took that to see if
you
that would
help.
You had
magnesium pills?
Tim, I have like a pharmacy in my home. I have every type of pill you could ever imagine.
What?
Yeah.
prescription and non-prescription?
I don't have that many prescription drugs. But
so like magnesium just seems like a weird, like I could see like I got Sudafed, I got NyQuil, I got
a lot of aspirin,
I got Advil, but like freaking magnesium.
You should try taking magnesium, Tim. You probably don't get enough of it as a vegetarian.
I take a multi.
Yeah, well, okay, so, yeah, and I'm sure it has magnesium in it.
Yeah, but I think only a psychopath would just have a pill, a bottle of magnesium pills in
it's
there.
Not...
What are you trying to do? What was the game when you bought those?
You're imagining just, like, a silver metallic pill that I...
What did you read that made you go out and buy magnesium pills?
I don't know, and honestly, there are so many different, like, supplements in my... bathroom that I'll look at them and I'm like, I don't even remember what I ordered this for. But
did you think it would turn you into Iron Man?
No, Tim, that would be iron pills, you idiot.
No, that's why I bought all those iron pills.
Apples and bananas. I didn't have any apples and bananas. Celery and
hundreds of magnesium pills.
Well, the magnesium...
But no fucking apples in your home.
Well, the magnesium pills keep, Tim. Apples don't keep. Celery. I did have celery. I ate some celery.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
What were you using the celery for?
I was eating the celery with, like, almond butter or cream
ants
cheese.
Ants on a log.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't have the ants.
You can't have raisins?
No, you can't have raisins. No, no fruit really at all.
You can't have fruit.
No, too many carbs, too much sugar.
Yikes!
It's having some fruit is better than having like a Hershey's bar or whatever. But it's still, you got to manage it. You got to make sure you don't have, because the whole thing is you don't want your blood sugar to spike.
Right.
That's
so
what you're after.
Going to ketosis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, this keto diet almost killed you.
It didn't almost kill me, but it did. I mean, it's one of the most painful things.
It put you in the most pain you've ever been in your whole life.
Yeah, I was going to say it's one of the most painful things I've ever done to myself, but no, it absolutely, it's the most painful thing I've ever experienced, and it was 100% my fault. Fish oil. I took some fish oil. That didn't help.
You did all of this.
I'm not even done.
In one night.
Yeah. Elevating your leg. Does elevating your leg ever work?
Yes.
I don't think so. I might not be doing it long enough.
When your foot hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no magnesium pills, but.
Right. I did not have apple cider vinegar.
You know what it does? You know what it does? It accelerates the blood.
Ooh, that kind of makes sense, actually. Now that you're,
I was making fun of you.
No, but it does make sense that if I had the uric acid in my foot, if I hold my foot up, it's going to fall out of there.
Yeah. You didn't have Tom, I've been taking, ACV, as I call it, apple cider vinegar. Every night before bed.
I have never liked the idea of apple cider vinegar, only because when you buy it, it says apple cider vinegar with the mother.
The mother. Yeah, you got to get over the fact that it's with the mother, and that's just like a clump of bacteria that is in.
Well, that's the thing. It's not only like the grossest way to refer to something, it's also the grossest thing you can imagine.
Yeah, if you shake it up enough, it kind of breaks up a little.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
put some of it, you can pour a couple of tablespoons into some hot water, and you'll be okay.
Like,
but I understand why you're not doing that.
You might be able to break up the mother, but you can't get rid of her. No, I mean, I'm actually surprised that I don't have any of that on hand. But that just always, and look, I understand that it's very good for you, but it's one of those things that suggested as like a cure for so much that I just don't believe it does anything.
Yeah, as a gag gift, because I was taking so much of it, my wife had gotten me a hippie book about the healing powers of apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
And it was just like every ailment.
Right.
There was 70 pages in the book, and it was every ailment, and it was like, dosage, 2 tablespoons a day.
Right.
Literally, it's yeah. like, okay, so if somebody took two tablespoons.
Minor aches, 2 tablespoons. Brain cancer, 2 tablespoons.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, so if I just took 2 tablespoons of this every day, I would be invincible?
Yeah. So that's why I never really trust that. Yeah. But I hell, if I had it, I certainly would have tried it.
You ever have acid reflux, Tom?
Not really.
Yeah, really helps with that.
I'll
take it tonight because of the enchiladas, you know.
I had a bunch of water with electrolytes. I have an electrolyte powder that I was drinking.
Of course you do.
That did,
you have a lot of powders in your home.
Yeah, that didn't really do much either. Lemon juice. I did have some fresh lemons here, so I was sucking on lemons and drinking lemon juice. That didn't do anything. Baking soda. Put some baking soda in a glass with some water and drank the baking soda. That didn't do anything.
Do you think all these remedies canceled each other out?
No, because from everything I was seeing, it sounded like all these remedies that they wouldn't cancel each other out, that they're either attacking different elements of this. Like some of these remedies, they're causing your body to produce less uric acid. Some of the remedies are breaking up uric acid. Some are flushing your system. So I felt confident that, you know what, I'm just going to throw. And I was a little bit worried at first because I was like, look, I'm just going to take everything and then I'm not going to know what the hell actually worked. But I was in such extreme pain that I could not give less of a shit. I just wanted the pain to go away. Tim, I'll tell you the 2 things that worked. The first thing, and a surprise, because again, this is one of those things that, you know, is held up as a cure for everything. CBD. Now, I tried CBD cream that I have. I tried CBD cream and I tried capsaicin cream, like heat cream. I couldn't even feel it on my feet. On my foot. That's how much it hurt.
Capsaicin cream. That's
the heat one.
That's like what is in the seeds of like a hot pepper.
Yeah. That's like the hot. It's not icy hot. It's just hot.
Right.
I tried some of that stuff. Remember I had that stuff, Tim, when we were in London last year. I had like back pain because I was like, slept weird on the plane, and I bought some like roll-on cream, and then I was telling you like it felt like I was gonna have to go to the hospital because it was so hot.
It was too hot. You put the heat cream on and it was too hot.
Look, yeah. They got to get some more regulations over there because they shouldn't be selling this stuff. But I put it on my foot, couldn't even feel it, and then the CBD cream couldn't feel it. I had CBD tincture that didn't really do anything. What worked was I had some CBD flower, the actual like just pure CBD, and I smoke that like it were marijuana itself. That helped.
This story seems suspect.
Why?
Oh, you smoked just the legal part of pot.
No, I did because I wouldn't have wanted to get stoned or anything. Like that would have just made me like paranoid about, like, then I would have been Googling, can you die from gout?
Yeah, that's true. That's why I can't smoke pot, because my baseline is, can you die from gout?
No,
paranoid me is a step up from that.
No, this CBD stuff, I've like had it for a while. Because mostly out of like the curiosity of like, wow, this is wacky. You can just buy CBD that looks like weed, like it is just the actual flower or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was like, yeah, I'm so desperate that I was like, let me try smoking some of this. And it did. It was the only thing that it did not fix it or anything, but it did help. I'll tell you
hear
what.
Hear that, kids? Drugs work.
Legal drugs. These were legal. Legal in all 50 states. I'll tell you what actually did work, Tim. Steroids.
What?
Steroids.
Do you have steroids at your
no.
home?
No. I did a telemedicine visit. Yeah. No, I did a telemedicine visit. I sent a doctor the same gross picture of my foot that I just sent you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, I've made some dietary changes, and I think I've got gout, and this really hurts. Is there anything I can take for this? And she said, yes, steroids. And she said, I'll have a man come bring them to your apartment. And that's what happened. And as soon as I took the steroids...
Wait, did they send them to you?
It was like a courier service, like
oh, wow. How long delivery. Did that take?
So the actual like telehealth thing, I think, didn't come on till like 9 a.m. when I got a response.
Okay.
I was up all night. And then the first delivery available was noon. So that was when I finally, and even that, I was like, there's like a pharmacy on my corner. I should have just done there. And
wait, you got a consultation at 9 a.m.?
Yeah.
And the drugs were delivered to your door by a courier service at noon?
Yeah.
And they say the U.S. healthcare system is fucked up?
And all I have to do, Tim, is I pay about $750 a month for that healthcare service that then allowed me to not have to... I didn't speak to a doctor. I sent her a text message and a photo. And she sent me a text message back saying like, yeah, all right, here's steroids.
Nice.
And then that was it.
You try to get some better drugs through that way. It seems pretty easy.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I've used this for is that and an asthma inhaler. But you're right, Tim. I should try and see what I could get out of this. I was at the point where if this woman was like, you need some opioids, I would have been like, that sounds great. I will risk addiction because this hurts so bad. I just want to saw my leg off.
Sounds like you were in a tight spot.
I was in a very tight spot. I can't tell you. It was unbelievable. I have so much sympathy now for people that deal with this. I'm not yet 40. I will be sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it gets worse over 40 that you can get gout, and is the most common form of arthritis in people over 40.
Well, Tom, I watched the film This Is 40 last night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Seen that film?
I've seen it. I saw it when it came out. I remember really liking it. And I was thinking about it somewhat recently of like, would this be super depressing to watch now?
I mean, here's the thing. I think Paul Rudd was like 47 when he was in that movie.
Yeah, so that was the other thing I was thinking about. Like, he wasn't 40.
And it's also like...
But also when you're watching the movie, you're like, this guy isn't 40, he's 27.
Yeah, exactly. But also it's kind of like, this is 40 if you're like... a rich Hollywood guy. Like, it's like,
is he playing himself?
He's playing Judd Apatow, essentially. So like,
oh yeah, it's true. Yeah, so, like, he's even sleeping with like, Judd Apatow's wife in that movie.
Yeah, and it was just like, oh, my like vanity record label that made me a rich man, and my wife's store that nobody ever goes to is putting that's putting us in. You know, financial distress, we might have to sell our giant home and downsize a little bit. And like, that's presented as like the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody.
Is it present? No, I think that's exaggerating. I mean, I haven't seen it in a while, but is it presented as like the worst thing?
No, it's presented as the thing that's putting a strain on their marriage and probably like,
which it would in real life.
That's happened to. Yeah, exactly. But like, it's definitely difficult to be like the stakes for a viewer who is not a rich Los Angeles resident is just kind of like buy a slightly smaller house. Like your house is huge and beautiful and like you're talking about your money problems and then you throw yourself an insanely lavish 40th birthday party.
Yeah.
There are things you can do to take these stresses off. Like, I feel like if people I know are having financial problems, it's not like, you know, it's kind of like, I might have to just like move in with my parents.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I find that in, well, I guess not even stories, in real life too, that there are things where people have, what kind of store is she running in that?
A clothing store.
Yeah, but so things like that where it's kind of like a vanity project almost, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, this business hasn't turned even close to a profit in like 3 years. And it's like, oh, well, then that just doesn't work. Like, and people that don't have, infinite money or whatever, or I guess not infinite, but just like deep pockets, realize that much sooner and are like, oh, I have to shift something or stop this and try something else.
Yeah. I think it's a great movie. Mm. I just feel like a lot of it centers around the problems that result from financial stress. And that's not real financial stress.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, they're still rich people. They might just have to get rid of like one of the things is the Albert Brooks plays the dad. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, you secretly lent your dad $80,000. And that's why you're in this trouble. And it's like, if I had $80,000 to lend to my dad, I would.
And also to lend secretly, where like, nobody will notice $80,000 missing.
Anyway, it's a great film, but it also feels like I still watch it as a 38-year-old and be like, and I'm just like, man, grown-ups' lives seem complicated.
Does he get gout in that movie at all?
Yeah, he gets gout. Yeah.
There's a part where he's like looking at his butthole, right?
I don't think gout happens in the butthole, right?
Jesus Christ, I hope not. The last thing I will say about gout, the thing that I like the least, is that the term gouty is a thing, like a medical term.
Gouty.
So like if you mm-hmm. came in with gout at a hospital, they would say, oh, I have a gouty patient. He has a gouty foot.
Do they ever
that.
Say he's
like
got the gout?
Just say I have a like patient with gout. He has gout in his foot.
Yeah. That was worse than the pain.
That was
knowing that the word gouty exists.
That was worse than the pain I've never felt, I've never experienced before in my life. Yeah.
Well, Tom, in conclusion, I'm sorry you got gout.
Thank you.
But I do think it's very funny.
Look, it's funny to me in retrospect. Like, I'm more or less fine. I've been having a real problem taking the steroids when I should, just because it's like hard. It's not one of those like, take it every 2 days. It's one of those like, take 7 today and then tomorrow take 6. And so I don't know. I'm taking them. It's fine. I feel, like I said, as soon as I took it, I felt much, much better. I slept for a few hours because I hadn't slept, woke up feeling more or less normal. I'm well on the road to recovery. I know a lot of people were probably worried about me last week, but rest assured, I'll be back in fighting form now. Now, I'm back.
You're ready for a fight.
Yeah. And if you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can check out our Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
If you want to support the show, check out patreon.com/completeguide, where our Patreon is for Books to Podcast. This week, we are doing part 2 of Sweet Valley High, Date with a Werewolf. I went on a date with a werewolf. I forget the name. It's Sweet Valley High, book 105. If you're
a date with a werewolf,
finish that book, be talking to Tim about it. And then next week we'll be doing, another Sweet Valley High book. It's a lot of fun. Patreon.com/complete guide. You get all the back episodes too. So not too bad.
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
Tom, so are you Is that all the plugs?
That's all. Yeah, that's all I'm going to do.
Yeah, whatever. Buy some Fram stuff.
They're not a sponsor this week, but sure.
I know. I just like Fram. Are you still on the keto diet?
I am not, but I'm hoping to go back on it. I'm hoping to.
Why?
What? Because other than that, it was good. Other than that, I liked it.
Other than that.
Like, I felt better when I was on it, except for the fact that I was in the worst pain.
You felt the worst you've ever felt in your entire life.
Yeah, but just in one part of my body. The rest of my body felt great.
All right.
I mean, like I said last week, I'm at the very least trying to cut out a lot of processed carbs.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I think you should eat some more vegetable stuff.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And, my girlfriend was fantastic taking care of me when I was sick, and then she just made
I bet you were the worst.
She just made like a huge roasted vegetable thing for dinner that night with tahini that like I always like to begin with, but then it was like exactly what I needed, you know, just like broccoli and peppers, kale, other vegetables that I like. I do like vegetables.
You got a funny way of showing it, Tom.
Well, there were certain vegetables I couldn't eat on this diet, and then the other ones were difficult to cook, and it was easier to just eat beef jerky.
Sounds delicious. Are you going to end this this episode by farting loudly?
No, that's... I don't think that even showed up on the final episode, did it?
No, yeah. But I could hear it.
Oh, I could hear it when I muted you. Maybe that'll be a Patreon exclusive. Hear last week's fart.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.